What are funnels? What are they about? And how are people getting paid using them? Have you ever
felt? Are you listening?
Welcome to the People in Tech Podcast, your resource for all things happening in tech. Join the conversation with your host, Caleb King.
What's up, Day One listeners? Welcome back to another great episode. I know I've been a little bit of a hiatus, but long story short, I am now a father. I have a baby girl, and life just pretty much threw things at me. Plus, everything going on in 2020 with coronavirus, racism, Black Lives Matter, the president, the list goes on and on. I'm just waiting for basketball to come back. But for today's episode, I got my man, Joel Lewis. Joel is the CEO, funnel architect, husband, and father of three. So this is going to be a great episode because what Joel does is he helps take your business to the next level. And again, like I said, the funnel architect. So we're going to be breaking down what is a funnel, why you've been hearing about funnels more so over the past few weeks, months, and even years. Why you've heard of technologies like ClickFunnels, Fast Pages, Lead Pages, Insta Pages, and why websites are dead. It's going to be a great episode. You're going to learn a lot. And with the whole pandemic and most of you working from home, and most of you have a lot of free time if you're not working from home, learn about funnels. I'm serious. You probably clicked on a funnel today and you didn't even know it. So, enough of me talking. Let's jump into it. Tweet, chat with us on Twitter. What's up, Day One listeners? We have a very special guest on the People in Tech podcast today. I got my man, Joel Lewis, CEO of Integrator & Co. And Joel, thank you so much for being on the show. And what we like to do with all our guests is ask a traditional question. How did you get into tech?
Well, Caleb, thank you for having me on the show. And I know we want to keep this tight and short, so I'll jump right into that question. Me in tech, it's almost like from a very young age, I used to take things apart, put them back together. I was the kid that got Christmas gifts, played with them for maybe a couple of weeks, and then I just wanted to figure out how the heck this thing worked. I literally was like taking apart remote control cars and trying to switch them over into a plane. And that led into schooling. Now I have an engineering degree. I worked for Intel Corporation for 15 years before I started my business. And kind of transitioning from that 9 to 5, you know, I had 3 children, and I wanted to figure out I started hearing about entrepreneurship and I know that that's one of your questions that's going to be coming up, but I'll jump into a little bit. So I apologize. Wanted to, you know, move up the corporate ladder, and I started hearing about entrepreneurship, and it intrigued me because the entire time, you know, my parents told me, hey, go to school, get a good job. And then I heard these, you know, individuals who were crushing it with online business, and I started researching, but I couldn't find the answer into how do you start a business with a family, because I had 3 young ones and a wife. So I started a podcast, so I had to figure out the technology behind that. And I know you have a episode where you talk about websites and podcasts, and it's not as easy as you think it is, and you want to be prepared for all the extra work that goes into it. And I started the podcast, figured that out, did 140 episodes. And then that's when I started figuring out what my superpower is, which is essentially technology, which led to me launching my business, which is Integrator & Co., where we build marketing funnels.
So first of all, that was probably one of the best answers to our traditional question. And we're going to dive into a lot of different things. So let's take it a step back.
Yes.
What did you study? What did you get your degree in?
Electrical and computer engineering.
Okay. And you ended up working at a phenomenal company in Intel. Yes. And then what were you doing over there? Were you writing in Java? Or what were you doing?
I was in management. So Intel paid for my education, which was awesome. So I was working and going to WPI, which is a school out here in Massachusetts. And as I was going to school and I wanted to do engineering, and I was actually going to be, my focus was going to be digital electronics, which is going to be creating code for CPUs. And I had a manager who was just amazing. You know, I had some bad managers. I had some okay managers, but then I had one manager who was just absolutely amazing and just took me to another level and encouraged me in a whole different way. And I said, I want to do that. And when I finished my degree, I actually went right into management, and I ended up spending the rest of my time at Intel, most of my time at Intel, because I was there for 15 years. I spent, I think, 12 years as a manager.
Okay. Now, for day one listeners, because as you know, most of them are 9 to 5 listening to our voices while they're commuting to work. So, being a father of three, having a very good career where a company paying for your education. And, you know, at some point you're sitting there and you're like, because I'm in a situation now. I love my job. I love my coworkers. Right. And I'm just sitting there like, man, there is something in me, that some fire that is about to either need to burn up or need to explode. But like, tell us, like, what was the first moment you were like, I need to be an entrepreneur. I need to possibly leave this to do something.
Yeah, great question. So, and it's exactly, it's there was a catalyst, and you kind of nailed it. So Intel, fabulous company, benefits insane. I mean, every 7 years, we got a 2-month paid sabbatical. And I started in 2001. In 2008, my first daughter was born. So you do the math, it was time for sabbatical. I had no, when I started at Intel, I had no plans of taking my sabbatical to watch, you know, to watch over our baby. But my wife is a NICU nurse. So she was able to get about 8 weeks off maternity leave. The last 2 weeks, we spent time together, and I started my sabbatical. So we had a 2-week overlap together. And then the remaining 6 weeks, I had to myself with my daughter. And I became literally the primary caregiver for 6 weeks, to the point where my wife would come home, and if I tried to hand my daughter off, like, she would be crying, right? And it was just the most amazing 6 weeks of my life, because not only was I providing for my family, not only did I not have to put my child in daycare, I was also getting paid. So it was like I was still the primary breadwinner because Intel was paying me, but I had all this freedom. I mean, I could take my daughter to the zoo and to the museum and all these things we would do, to the park. And it was just amazing. And after I went back to work, although I loved the company, I loved my team. I love being a manager, absolutely love being a manager, which is why I built a business with a team. I didn't have the freedom that I wanted, that feeling again. I wanted to have that true freedom. And that was the catalyst that sparked me to start listening to these podcasts like Entrepreneur on Fire by John Lee Dumas, Pat Flynn, Smart Passive Income. And that started fueling me more and more, reading the books. And then eventually, you know, the knowledge starts to build. And then, and I'll take it one step further, if you don't mind. For me, I was kind of pushed because the site here in Massachusetts ended up shutting down. So even though I had the podcast, and the podcast was my way of investigating and finding the answer to, well, guys, I'm listening to you on Entrepreneur on Fire. I'm listening to you on Pat Flynn. And you guys are talking about you have these successful 6-7-figure businesses and you left your corporate jobs with a family, but no one's talking about how the heck did you do it? So then that's when I launched my own podcast to find that answer. So while I was doing that research, and I did 140 interviews, fortunately, like, timing, and, you know, God has a hand in everything. The timing was that I got to a point where I did enough interviews where I knew all their failures and successes. And I created my own little formula, like a, you know, true geek that I am. And then when Intel shut down here in Massachusetts, because the site, it's a manufacturing site, and they just couldn't, it was acquired and it wasn't built Intel from the ground up. So they couldn't expand it like true Intel sites are. They build it so that they could expand with, you know, technology, Moore's Law. And they ended up shutting down. And my wife and I looked at each other and was like, well, we don't want to move to the West Coast, which Intel would have gladly accept me over there. We decided to go all in since I've already been doing all this work with the podcast and the research. And then that was like, so the catalyst in 2008, there was a lot of trial and error, app development, trying to launch different businesses, all between from 2008 to when I finally launched the podcast in 2014, and then Intel shutting down in 2016. And that led me to where I am now.
Man, that is a great story. 2008, I mean, we're talking about when the market crashed. I mean, people are, like my cousin, for example, superstar, COO, whatever, right? Big timer in New York. And then I remember he went to Columbia, got his MBA, came out, and he was like, I was literally making more before I went to grad school. And I'm making the same now. And like, you know, people losing their houses and like it's overall. So like this, you know, it's really, really cool at that point. You know, you said to yourself, the catalyst, you know, the family. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be a first time daddy coming up in May. And, you know, this gives me inspiration. But let's talk about after all the research you did, listening to Pat Flynn, listening to Joe, you know, hearing all these experts out here telling us like you can make six figures, you can be in a two-comma club, you can be making a lot of money. What was it? Was like, how did you get into, because now you're known as a funnel architect. So how did you get into funnel building?
Yeah, and it's a great question, right? And, you know, with 20 something minutes, you know, we try to capture as much as possible for, you know, the day one listeners, but you got to understand, and I know you talked about this in the podcast where you talk about website building and stuff like that, and you kind of go into it, is that there's no, I don't know, maybe there are some overnight successes, but the clients that I work with, even the ones that are now seven-figure businesses, and they've done it in 2.5 years, they had a blog before, they were doing other things before. And even myself, I tried with app, because 2008, apps were still hot, right? And it was like, hey, I'm an engineer, I did coding, why don't I try to do an app? And then I tried to launch a scrapbooking company, and it's online scrapbooking, it was just a whole nother thing. So I tried a number of things. And then what ended up happening was when I signed up for a program, right? So educating yourself, right? Trying, listening to podcasts like this, listening to some of the podcasts I mentioned, reading is super important. And then eventually you have to pull the trigger and spend some money. And I signed up for a program by Jamie Tardy at the time. Her name is Jamie Masters now, of Eventual Millionaire. And it was the first time I spent, it was $1,000. It was the first time I fully invested in like a business, in the business. And like that kind of money. And after I went through her program, Intel had shut down, and she reached out to me and she was like, Joelle, the way you do things and the way you think, like I'm looking for someone to add to my team. Would you be interested in working part-time on my team? And I was like, sure, I'm still working on this podcast, trying to monetize the podcast. So again, going back to your podcast about, you know, building a website and not having a business model, a big, big mistake. Because I built a podcast and I didn't have the intentions of converting it into something that generated revenue. But I mean, I had, you know, tons of subscribers. Again, podcast was very hot back then. I hit new and noteworthy, all that kind of stuff. And so she asked me, you know, would you mind working? And I was like, yeah, I can make some revenue while trying to figure this stuff out. And I started to learn. Through her, she's a coach for business owners. So working behind the scenes, I was starting to see what was the need in the marketplace. And again, you talk about this, and I'm sure in multiple podcasts, like figuring out the niche, figuring out what value are you bringing to people. And initially, I launched a webinar production agency. So that was actually my first business, which was, Startup Dad was the podcast. Then I switched over. The actual business to generate revenue was webinar production, which was basically a white glove agency where I saw there was a lot of entrepreneurs, people who were trying to sell their products and their services. Webinars was hot, and they still are. And they needed to do webinars, but they didn't know how to do the tech. So it was like, oh, my superpower. So I combined the superpower of technology with a need that I saw in the marketplace. And I just put together, I had no website. I had no business. I actually just said webinar production agency, but I didn't actually have an LLC or anything like that. I still had the Startup Dad LLC. So I guess it was like a DBA. And I just put together a mind map, which was like basically a visual of what the service would look like And I started reaching out to people through Facebook, direct, like kind of guerrilla tactics, like direct messaging them, which is harder to do now. And I said, hey, I saw that you just did a webinar, or you're planning to do a webinar. Are you planning on doing anything more? And then they would respond back, and I would say, hey, I have this service. And literally my second message out of the gate, I jumped on with the entrepreneur. His name is Dr. Ed Osborne. And like 20 minutes later, he became a client. 3 months later, I was doing 10,000, so five figures in the business. And I hired my first employee, and then it all took off from there. And then eventually, a year and a half into it, my webinar clients wanted funnels, because funnels started becoming super hot. And I was like, yeah, sure, I could build funnels. And then we switched from webinars to Integrator & Co., where we build funnels. And I enjoy funnels a lot more than the webinar side of things.
Okay. So for a day one listener, Joel, what is a funnel? Like, give us funnel one-on-one. Because to me, it's right now, it is a little buzzwordy. It's like, oh yeah, set up a funnel. But what is a funnel?
Yeah. So funnel always existed. It's just that now with certain marketers, they made it more popular. But funnel, when I explain to you, to everyone, you'll understand. And if you think about McDonald's and Amazon and all these things way back in the day, it's always been there. It's just now more a buzzword. So a funnel, a funnel starts with some kind of effort to drive traffic to an online piece of asset. Right. So, and it doesn't historically, a funnel could even be through direct mail, but let's just talk about online current day. You have social media, you're doing either inbound or outbound marketing strategy. So you're either paying to drive traffic to get attention, or you're doing blog posts and these kind of things so people find you organically. Right. So, and you're driving traffic to a online piece of assets, in this case, is a page. It looks just like a website. So the funnels we build, it looks like you're landing just on a website. You go to a domain, you see a URL, and some people would associate it to a landing page. It would look like you're landing on a landing page. One big difference between a website and a funnel is that a website, as we all know, has a lot of distractions. And when I say distractions, I mean every tab on your website, the way I explain it, every tab is a call to action. The home, the about, the contact, follow us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, all those things where they could click and go to another page or click and go to a social media platform, those are a call to action. And people could go through multiple pages on your website and never sign up on your contact list or never opt into anything. So now you just spent some energy, effort, doing some kind of something on social media to drive them to your site, but then you don't actually capture that lead or that sale. A funnel, on the other hand, when they land on that page, everything on that page is geared to them taking one action. So there's only one call to action on a funnel. So they really have two options. Either they take the desired call to action or they leave, and that's it. So from the hook, the headline, the powerful headline, the call to action button, the testimonials, who's this for, who's this not for, the social proof, everything on that page is geared to them taking the action. So that's one big difference. The next part of a funnel is that once they take the action, unlike a landing page where they take an action and they go to a thank you page, you continue the conversation. So at McDonald's, you go to buy a burger and they say, do you want fries with that? And back in the day, they used to say, do you want to supersize that, right? Movie theater, you go to get popcorn and say, they try to upgrade you. So this is the same thought process with a funnel. You get, they've taken one action. So now might as well present them with something else. That something else could be something that leads them, if you're selling if it's an ebook on the front end, you could present them with a low ticket offer, like it's called a tripwire, which may be $7, maybe up to $20. If it's, or it could be inviting them to your webinar, Or maybe you have the webinar right on that page and it's a micro webinar and you're teaching them something related to the thing that they just opted in. But after they watch that thing, you then take them to a sales page or you take them to a book appointment. So that's the power of a funnel, is that you already got their attention from social media, right? We know how hard that is. You got their attention to the point where they stayed on your page and opted in. So now they've made a micro commitment, right? And that's why that first page is super important. But they made that micro commitment, whether they gave you their email, name and email, name, email, and phone number. So why not continue the conversation even further and provide them with something else that they need, something that is valuable to them? Because they've already trusted you enough to do the first two actions. Why not get them to do a third option if you can?
You know, it's
so that's
funny.
Where
I'm thinking about this because I'm going to give you a time where I don't want to say fallen for a funnel, but I definitely got into it. So if you follow my content now, you know, I'm getting into animation, but before I start using Adobe to create animated characters, I was looking for some software and I found Toonly. Now Toonly is an animated software where it's pretty much like a PowerPoint, but for animation. Right. And go to the page. And what'd you say, the tripwire? It was like,
yes,
for I think $20, you know, sign up and get Toonly for a year. And I'm like, oh yeah, because it was like $500 before. And then right. I sign up and they're like, hey, you know what? If you're going to do Toonly, you're also probably going to do some email marketing with your Toonly. Like, you want to be able to promote yourself. And I was like, okay, how much is that? And they were like, oh, that's another 15. I was like, well, add that to it. And then right. after that, it was another upsell where it was like, hey, if you're going to do Toonly email marketing, you're going to need something to manage your social media, right? I was like, crap. Okay. And I just remember like three or four times, I was like, damn, I just spent $100.
Exactly.
I just wanted one thing and it has got me. So help our listeners right. understand, because I know funnel, you did a great job explaining what funnels were. But for the day one listeners who are interested in building their own sales funnels, what software is available or how do they go about it?
By far right now, and the only software we use currently, not that we're not always looking, but we've attempted with over the years, we've attempted to use multiple softwares. But by far right now, in terms of building a funnel, super easy, with some technology, we're super easy. I'll put the little caveat, right? With some technology. If you've built websites or anything like that, you'll be fine with a funnel.
Well, man, that is great to hear. Thank you so much for being on the show. Day one listeners, you know what it is. Go put everything in the show notes below. Start looking into funnels. 2020 might be the year your funnel blows up. And if you don't want to do it, hire your boy. Funnel Architect on the show. Contact him. He does great work. That's all we got for today. Thank you for tuning in. Peace.
Thanks for joining us on the People in Tech podcast. For resources mentioned in this episode, visit us at peopleintech.io and join our mailing list for more content. Later.